Joshua 1:9, we've been going through this verse together, so let's read it together there on your screen. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. Thank you. 2 weeks ago, the message focused on a message that is not the easiest one to preach about, or not one that sometimes will come across as a one of those feel-good messages. It's one of those that are more hits you right in the heart sometimes, depending on your situation in life. But it dealt with the area of sin in our life, sin in our possibly in the body, or a term that was used back when I was a kid growing up, sin in the camp, that sometimes, unfortunately, may happen. We looked at three different areas when it came to sin, and this was from Joshua chapter 7, actually. Joshua chapter 7, coming off of a great victory when Jericho, God gave the city of Jericho to the Israelites, and that city just fell. The walls fell down. They went in, and they took over that city. But there was a man named Achan that we read about in chapter 7, Achan, that disobeyed God, and he took some of the sacred things, or the devoted things that God said not to take. Because he did that, it led to consequences, not only for himself, but for the nation of Israel. We looked at how sin leads to destruction. Sin leads to destruction or consequences, and the whole nation was affected by that. Israel was routed as they went into battle and tried to defeat a nation called Ai, or Ai, or however that nation is pronounced. It's spelled A-I, so Ai. 36 of Israel's men were killed as they were routed by this nation, which the nation of Israel thought, there's no problem. There's not going to be any problems going against them. They're a lot smaller of a nation. We don't need even the whole entire army to go and fight this battle. We've got this. But because of the sin that Achan did in taking those devoted things, hiding those things underneath his tent, it led to destruction. Sin also, we saw, sin leads to deceit. Leads to deceit. There was covering up that happened. He tried to hide those devoted things underneath his tent. In fact, he hid even underneath some of those things, he hid the money or the silver even further down. And he tried to cover up as much as he could. There was lying. There was grief that happened. There was questioning. I mean, Joshua questioned God. He says, why, God? Why did you lead us to just have to, for us to just to face this destruction? They lost hope. I'm sure they felt depressed because they had these consequences that happened. Consequences and destruction and deceit. And then the third area we looked at was that sin leads to death. Unfortunately, sometimes the consequences of sin leads to physical death. Maybe yourself, maybe other people. Maybe like in this passage in chapter 7, it led to 36 people being killed. But also, ultimately, sin will lead to spiritual death. Spiritual death. Achan and his whole family were stoned to death because of his sin. They were burned up, and a huge pile of rocks were heaped on them. There was a lot of destruction, a lot of despair that happened. But 2 weeks ago, we also looked at the good news. That's a lot of bad news, a lot of despair, and all those things that we don't like to think about. But we looked at also the good news. And the good news comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us that. straight up. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He made the way for us. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us, to purify us from all unrighteousness. There isn't any sin that if we come to God, that He won't forgive. I know there's passages that in the Gospels when Jesus talks about the sin of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, that's a whole other message, a whole other topic that we're not going to get into today. But maybe you're here today and you think, I have blown it. I've led a life that is just very sinful. I don't know if God can forgive me. Yes, He can. Yes, He can, because Jesus went to the cross for you. He paid the penalty for you and for me, so that we could receive His forgiveness. Here's some more good news I want to give you this morning. Yesterday's defeat can become today's victory. Yesterday's defeat can become today's victory. That's a great place to say amen. Okay, let's try that again. Yesterday's defeat can become today's victory. Amen. Great. Yes. I love that. We get to Joshua chapter 8 now. I mean, we've read chapter 7. We read that together 2 weeks ago. The sin, the despair, the depression, everything. And then all of a sudden, things just change completely. We get this 360 on what's happening in the nation of Israel because of God. Because of God's message to Joshua. It's a message of victory. And He says this: "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.'" Boy, He's already said that to him multiple times, but He reminds him one more time again: "Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." He says, "Take the whole army with you this time. Go up and attack Ai. For I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, except this time you may carry off their plunder and livestock for yourselves and set an ambush behind the city." In those two verses, we're going to stop there this morning. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at the rest of that chapter together. But we're going to focus on these two verses today. But those two verses contain a lot of hope, a lot of victory talk for us this morning, and a victory message, not just talk, but a message of hope for us, not just for Joshua, not just for Israel, but for us as well. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, because here's the plan now. You're going to do it my way this time. Take the whole army with you this time, and this time also you can carry off their plunder. Just a little side note, in fact, I don't even think I have this in my notes. I was reading a commentary on this today, and you've wondered this right now as I read this. Why could they take the plunder this time in the city of Ai, but they couldn't in Jericho? Well, it's very interesting, as in the commentaries they say that Jericho was the first city that the Israelites went in to conquer. It was very important, and it still is very important, when it comes to first fruits, the first part of what God gives us is God's. Now, it's all His, ultimately. We are just managers and stewards of all that He gives us. But when it comes to tithing and giving our tithes and offerings to the Lord, the Bible is very clear on this principle of tithing, that the first fruits belong to God. So when God said, "Don't take any of the devoted things in Jericho," it was as if He was saying, "That belongs to me. Jericho is the first city I'm giving you. It's your first, the first of what you're going to conquer. And so those first fruits. So now Ai, the second city, now you can go in, you can take what you see, take what you want out of that plunder and carry it back off with you and their livestock for yourselves. So that's a side note. All right, let's get back to the victory part again. In Joshua chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, we see that there's a lot of hope here. And with God, with Jesus, there is always hope. With Him on our side, there is always hope. Let me remind you also this morning that nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing is too difficult for our Lord. He can turn any ugly situation in life into beauty. He can turn the impossible into possibility. He can breathe new life into dry bones. With God, all things are possible. He is our all-knowing, all-powerful, all-sufficient, always present God. Amen? Amen. Now, when it comes to this passage in Joshua chapter 8, what I gather here is that the Lord really must have known that Joshua and the people, they went through a lot. God knew that. He was present. He was all-knowing. He knew what they were going on. He could see that. And He knew that very quickly the people could get into the state of depression, into a state of, it's over. We don't know what we're going to do anymore. What are we going to do? So God right away again said, listen, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. In the Israelites, there was a condition, though, that was attached to the blessing of God. And it's important for us to remember this when we go and look at the ways that God took this impossible situation and turned it into victory. But let's look at this for a second. The blessing of God, to experience the blessing, God told them that you needed to do certain things. I call it the divine cooperation. As long as you were obedient to God, God was going to bless. As long, Israel, as if you were going to obey me, do what I command, you're going to receive the blessing upon blessing. It goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience. So when we look at Achan, we think, why couldn't Achan just had his sins forgiven, gone on in life, just and said, you know, I'm going to change all this? Well, it's because God said, if you're going to obey me, I'm going to bless you. If you're going to disobey me, you're going to receive receive curses. So Joshua and the nation of Israel had to go through a cleansing, a purification. We looked at that a little bit a couple weeks ago. For the sin that was committed, even the sin of Achan that was committed, the whole nation went through this cleansing. I thought this was really good. In the Life Application Bible, in the notes, it said this. After Israel had been cleansed from Achan's sin, Joshua prepared himself, he prepared the nation of Israel to attack Ai again, but this time to win. Joshua had learned some lessons that we can follow. He learned the lesson that you need to confess your sins when God reveals them to you. He also learned that when you fail, refocus on God. Refocus on God. Let God help you deal with the problem and move on. Sometimes that takes some time, depending on the situation. But God wants us to continually focus on Him more than the problem. God wants the cycle, the commentary continue. God wants the cycle of sin, repentance, and forgiveness to strengthen us, not to weaken us. The lessons we learn from our failures should make us better able to handle the same situation the second time around. So I want to encourage us again, keep going. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing in to the Holy Spirit. Don't give up. God is on your side. He desires for you to live a victorious life, not a life of defeat. He has given us all that we need to live a life of holiness, of victory, a life set apart from the ways of this world. That's what it's all about. When God says, don't be discouraged, don't be afraid, I am with you. I'm going to help you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter says, His divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. I'm so thankful this morning that God is a God of second chances, aren't you? Perhaps you're here today, or maybe you're watching online today and you're thinking, my life is a wreck. I look back and I see mistakes that I've made. I see things I wish I could have changed. Because of decisions and choices that I made, life stinks. That's what the devil wants us to focus on, doesn't he? That's what our enemy wants us to remember. He wants us to dwell on those hurts, on those failures. He wants us to look back, remember the pain, continually think about those things. But remember, God, all of a sudden, bam, says, don't forget. Yes, you just saw what happened, but don't forget, I'm with you. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. Do it like this now. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you be victorious today because it's about the plan that I have for you. The plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, His plans to give you a hope and a future, it says in Jeremiah 29:11. God is a God of victory. That's what it's about. Being somebody that is a victor in life, not a victim. Be a victor, not a victim. Joshua and the Israelites were at a crossroads. What would they do? What should they do? They could have easily gone down the path of living like a victim. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, it's so terrible. This happened. And I'm sure they may have had some times of that, some grief. We don't know the exact timing of this and what they and how long it was in between the message that God gave them and what happened. But God reminded them to keep going. Don't give up. Don't give up. We felt like that before, haven't we? We all have. Maybe you're feeling like that today. Maybe you feel like I'm about to give up. I'm about to just leave it and walk away. That's why God reminds us, Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. I know what you've gone through. I know the pain that you've gone through. But I have a plan, and I'm going to help deliver you. I'm going to help take care of you. Yesterday's defeat can become today's victory. Yesterday's defeat can become today's victory. So what does it take then for us to go from being a victim to a victor? A victim to a victor. Well, first of all, we have to choose faith over fear. We have to choose faith over fear. Fear will creep in so quickly when it comes to life and the disappointments in life. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, and we've been paralleling in Joshua, paralleling with Ephesians chapter 6 with the armor of God. In the armor of God, the fourth piece of the armor, it says this, in addition to all these other pieces of the armor, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The Israelites had a lot they could have been fearful about. They had a lot to be afraid of, but God said, do not be afraid. Fear paralyzes us. If we let it, fear will paralyze us. This past couple of weeks has been a couple of tough weeks for Terry and for me and for our son. And most of you know the background, the story about that with our son getting in a horrible accident with his girlfriend. He's still in the hospital, still trying to recover, going through a therapy every day for his to be able to walk right and his balance. Therapy to get his mind back. It kind of comes and goes. There was one day this past week when we were with him. In fact, it was last Sunday when we got down to the hospital. He said, "Hey, do you remember when Katie, your sister, came and saw you?" And he says, "Oh, yeah, I remember that." So the next day, we talked about it again. He says, "Katie was here?" So it was kind of in and out. And so it's easy to start letting that fear build up inside of you. On Friday, just a couple days ago, one of the caseworkers that had been helping through this and getting some things settled with Josh of what's going to happen once he gets released from the hospital, called and talked to Terry, and it sounds like he's going to get released tomorrow. And we thought, oh my goodness, this is a little bit quicker than we thought. And he was given two different options what to do. One, to go to a place that we really don't want him to go to because of some past things in his life. But one other option, and they only gave him two options, was to come and be with us for a while. I want to tell you a little bit of how Terry reacts and how I react to situations like that and tie it into this faith over fear. Terry has a little bit more compassion than I do. She has more feeling than I do, and so right away she's like, "Oh yeah, you can come, be with us. I'd love that. I'll take care of you. This is going to be great. I'll have some family with us and all that." Me, fear paralyzes me. Fear, and I've talked about this with you before in some messages, but instantly I was just kind of taken back, like, wait a second. I remember in the past some of this stuff happening with our kids before and with our son and where they moved back and things. And I'm thinking of all the different what-ifs again and that. And Saturday morning, it kind of hit again after thinking it. And I thought, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with this? And I got this passage out again. And I was just reading this again. I thought, I got to preach this morning. God, you're leading me to preach on this. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And here I am being paralyzed by this fear. And it was as if God's peace just came on me in those moments yesterday. And so I was reading, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. It's going to be okay, Todd. Calm down. It's going to be all right. Fear paralyzes us, but we need to choose faith over fear. We need to choose faith over fear. In faith, when we choose faith, our confidence is in God. Confidence is in God. It's not in ourselves. It's not in other people. Our confidence is not in other people's behavior, what they will do. Our confidence is in God. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on Him, for He cares for you." When those anxious thoughts creep in, when those fears creep in, cast all of that anxiety, cast those fears on Jesus because He cares for us. Faith over fear. Faith over fear. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. We also need to choose courage over discouragement. Choose courage over discouragement. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. I like how the Amplified Bible says it, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but He has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control." What's interesting is that 2 Timothy 1 verse 8 then says, "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord." God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, timidity, cowardice. He's given us a spirit of power and love and sound judgment. So, because of that, do not be afraid to testify about our Lord. Don't be discouraged. Be courageous. Discouragement keeps you down. It keeps you depressed. It keeps you feeling like you're in misery and without hope. God knew that Joshua and the Israelites, they had just been through that discouraging time. So again, God told them, don't be discouraged. You're going to go against Ai again, but this time you're going to do it my way. I've got the plan. Here's the plan. Here's what you're going to do. And don't worry, because this time you're going to attack them just like and just like what happened to Jericho. That's what's going to happen. You're going to take over the king, the people, the city, and you can even gain all the plunder that you can carry off, including the livestock, for yourselves. So Joshua, in verse 3 then, chapter 8, it says, "So Joshua and the whole army moved out to attack Ai." They moved out. They were courageous. They didn't let their discouragement stop them. They listened to God, who was saying, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Go. Attack. I'm with you. You've got this. They stepped out in faith. They chose courage over discouragement, and they chose to obey. They chose to obey, which leads to the third point this morning in closing. We also need to choose obedience over stagnation. Obedience over stagnation. It's kind of an interesting word, stagnation. I looked up the definition of the word. One definition was this: it's a state or condition marked by a lack of flow, movement, or development. Another definition says this: having no current or flow, and often having an unpleasant smell as a consequence, without inflow and outflow. So in other words, when we have water that builds up, and it just kind of sits maybe in a puddle. Sometimes maybe you have a pot or a bowl or something in your sink that has some water in it. If there's no flow of that water, there's no constant stream of flow going through there, what happens if it just becomes stagnant and stays there? It could stink. It could become very smelly. Especially, you know, if you've added some dish soap into that water and you leave it there for a few days, you get kind of a really interesting odor, don't you? Unfortunately, many people have become stagnant in their relationship with God. They've gotten discouraged, so they just sit. They've gotten afraid, so they go into hiding. They've become stagnant in fulfilling God's purpose for their life. COVID accelerated this for some people. We throw up our hands. We say, I don't know what to do anymore. Or we just sit and we just don't do anything. God is saying, get up. Get going. Don't give up. I'm with you. I've got a plan. It's all right. I'm on your side. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Church, until Jesus comes back to this earth, we must keep fighting the good fight of faith that Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:12. We must not give up sharing the reasons of our hope. We've got to keep going. We've got to keep pressing in and keep pressing on. Amen? We do not want to become stagnant. I want to choose obedience over stagnation. I don't want to stink as a believer. I don't want our church to stink because we're stagnant. I want to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I want to see and look to Him and just get on board with what He's doing and get on for the ride, because He's got the plan. He's got it covered. He knows what we're going to go through. It doesn't mean that we're going to, and it's going to just be all easy. No, He said it. We're going to still go through trials and tribulations and heartaches and tough things that we go through as a family. But we need to remember that He's with us. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. He's got you. He's got us. We can do this. Choose faith over fear. Choose courage over discouragement, and choose obedience over stagnation. Yesterday's defeat can become today's victory. Yesterday's defeat can become today's victory. Let's stand. You know, I was thinking as we close, sometimes it's all right to fear. You know, I don't want to come across to saying that all fear and some of those feelings that we get is wrong, because fear will help us. When we have those moments of fear, it'll help us and sometimes keep us from getting hurt in life. I mean, if there's a wild animal in front of me, I'm going to have fear. That's okay, you know, just for an example. But if we let that fear get a hold of us, and we let it discourage us, we let it paralyze us, let it come between a relationship between us and God, that's when we need to go to God and say, God, I need help. I need Your help in this area. Lord, I want to be courageous. I want to be obedient to You. So as we pray, let's ask the Lord to help us, no matter what we face in life, to do these things. Father God, we bow again before You before we walk out of this place, before we start talking together with one another, before we go about to Your plan and purpose for our life, we first bow before You. We acknowledge, Lord, that we mess a lot of things up in life. I mess a lot of things up. I'm not perfect in everything that I do. But God, I'm thankful that You do forgive. You cleanse, You purify us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, as we ask You for that forgiveness, we repent of those sins. We say, I'm going to turn around. I'm going to walk a different direction. I'm going to live a different life, a life that chooses faith, obedience, courage. All these things that You encouraged Joshua and Israel to do, Lord, those are the things that I want to exemplify. Those are the things that I want to do in life. And I pray that as a church, everyone here, that we would all make that our choice, make that our decision to live that way. Thank You, Lord, for all the ways that You encourage us. Lord, may we never forget that You are on our side, that Your presence is with us, as a believer, as a child of God, your presence is living inside of us. That means, God, we are, anywhere we go, you are there. You're with us, Lord. You're carrying us. You're speaking to our hearts and our minds and our souls. So, God, may we carry that shield of faith. And when the enemy, Satan, tries to shoot the arrows, those fiery arrows of destruction our way, tries to get us to burn in flames, I pray, God, that we will do the right thing, that we will do whatever it is that you want us to do, that we will be obedient to your calling, obedient to the things of the Word of God. And those, Lord, we'll watch those arrows just bounce off our shield of faith because we stand. We stand in faith. We stand in your power. We stand in your grace. Lord, thank you. Thank you for having the plan and the purpose. And we go away from here today claiming victory today. We may have gone through a lot of defeats in life, but we're going to claim your victory. We're going to claim the next day victory. And we're going to be a victor because of you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now go with us. We don't know what we'll face, but I'm so grateful you're with us. God, we pray all these things in your powerful name, the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow if they haven't bowed already. That's how we pray, because you are all powerful. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. 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 Well, have a great week, everybody. Hope to see you Wednesday if you're able to make it. And just remember, God is with us. Amen.